summer of 2010, LeBron James. In the summer of 2010, LeBron James announced to the world that he was taking his talents to South Beach. Four NBA Finals appearances and two titles later, LeBron has returned to Cleveland to lead his hometown Cavaliers to the brink of a title. What will winning a title in Cleveland mean to LeBron's legacy? And does he even owe the city of Cleveland a championship? Plus a final take on Adrian Peterson and some headlines. That's all coming up this week on KD Sports Arena. The show starts right now. It's another Saturday, and that means another edition of KD Sports Arena. Hello, everybody. This is KD. Welcome to the Sports Arena. This week's topic is pretty good. We'll be talking about LeBron James as he gets ready to take on the he and his Cavaliers get ready to take on the Golden State Warriors in the NBA Finals, which start all the way on Thursday. We're getting closer to that. You can follow the show along at KD Sports Arena. On the episode page that you're looking right now, you got the link to the Facebook page at facebook.com/KD Sports Arena. Also, the Twitter feed. My Twitter feed is at Kamari D. So check that out as well. You want to get in on the conversation here today? The number is 347-308-8219, which you see on the screen right there. And hopefully you enjoy this podcast as we discuss one of the most polarizing figures in all of sports. A lot of people like LeBron. A lot of people hate LeBron. But there's no question about it. He puts a lot of eyeballs on the TV screen and a lot of behinds in the seats. So we're going to talk about LeBron James and the city of Cleveland today. What is the final chapter? That's what's going on here today. But first, I'm going to give you some headlines of what happened this past week. And we start with a scandal in soccer. Swiss police arrested several top FIFA officials this past week and plan to extradite them to the United States, where they will face federal corruption charges. Charges allege that there was widespread corruption throughout soccer's governing body over the past 20 years, involving bids for World Cups as well as marketing and broadcast deals. Obviously, everything in soccer seems to be a joke, even when they fall all over themselves after a big play or after a foul. But this is the biggest foul of all, and there are a lot of people that are going to be in a lot of trouble. But at least the president was reelected. Chicago Bulls have fired head coach Tom Thibodeau after 5 seasons as head coach. Thibodeau had 2 years and almost $9 million remaining on his contract. The 2010-2011 NBA Coach of the Year had a .647 win percentage in regular season for Chicago. The Bulls were eliminated by Cleveland in the Eastern Conference semifinals earlier this month. The Bulls are confident Iowa State head coach Fred Hoiberg will accept an offer to be the next head coach in Chicago. This seems to be a very messy relationship, and it seemed to be a very messy divorce, and therefore Thibodeau had to go. And unfortunately, if Fred Hoiberg does become the head coach, I have a feeling that something like this will happen to him. But don't worry about Coach Tibbs. He'll find a job soon. And those are a couple of the headlines making the rounds this week. I've got very cheesy music. I apologize for that. Anyway, 347-308-8219 is the number to get involved in the conversation this week. The topic this week is a topic that a lot of people like to talk about, and that's LeBron James. Whether you love him or you hate him, you have to respect the fact of what this guy has done this year. He goes to Cleveland after 4 years in Miami, and those 4 years were predicated by the decision. Decision that was a one-hour TV special on ESPN, which was probably one of the worst mistakes that ever happened in the history of TV. But make no mistake about it, LeBron went through it, and at the end of the show, he tells the world he's taking his talents to South Beach. And in the process of that, the aftermath of that, of course, Miami's celebrating because they have titles dancing in their head. But Dan Gilbert, who is the owner of the Cavaliers, who is still the owner of the Cavaliers, by the way, back all those 4 years ago, or 5 years ago now, as we're in the summer of 2015, but he posted a letter on the team's website that, of course, he took down a little bit later on. But I just want you to think back to the summer of 2010 in the first few words of this letter, and I quote, "Dear Cleveland, all of Northeast Ohio and Cleveland Cavaliers supporters, wherever you may be tonight, as you now know, our former hero, who grew up in the very region that he deserted this evening, is no longer a Cleveland Cavalier. This was announced with a several-day narcissistic self-promotional buildup culminating with the national TV special of his quote-unquote decision, unlike anything ever quote-unquote witnessed in the history of sports and probably the history of entertainment. Clearly, this is bitterly disappointing to us. The good news is that ownership, team, and the rest of the hardworking, loyal, and driven staff over here at your hometown Cavaliers have not betrayed you, nor never will betray you. There's so much more to tell you about the events of the recent past and our more than exciting future. Over the next several days and weeks, we will be communicating much of that to you. You simply don't deserve this kind of cowardly betrayal. You have given so much and deserve so much more. In the meantime, I want to make one statement to you tonight." This is just great. Listen to this. "I personally guarantee that the Cleveland Cavaliers will win an NBA title before the self-titled former king wins one. You can take it to the bank." So that's what Dan Gilbert, and obviously he goes on to really just completely trash LeBron. But the problem is, he doesn't realize that he doesn't have a team to back up his words. Cleveland Cavaliers go down into the abyss of the Eastern Conference. Meanwhile, the Miami Heat, with Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh, and LeBron, go to the NBA Finals the very first year. Now, the first year isn't smooth sailing. I mean, you got a young head coach in Eric Spoelstra. You've got three guys that are trying to get everything together, and the role players are trying to figure out where everybody fits in. So it's a slow starting process. But they figure it out, and they get all the way to the NBA Finals. But they lose to the Dallas Mavericks. So next year, team is on a mission. I mean, you know, now they've got a full year under their belt. Meanwhile, Cleveland still is going down, but they are trying to get better. If you think about it, think about the 2011 NBA draft. In the 2011 NBA draft, two of the people that are a part of this current playoff run for Cleveland were drafted. The number one overall pick is Kyrie Irving. The number four overall pick is Tristan Thompson. A little foreshadowing. But anyway, Miami proceeds to win two titles back-to-back. And on the way, Cleveland's still heading down into the abyss of the Eastern Conference. But Kyrie Irving is emerging as a superstar. The pieces are starting to play right together. And then Kevin Love becomes a free agent. And LeBron James becomes a free agent. And Kyrie Irving goes ahead and signs with Cleveland again. So LeBron decides to return home to Cleveland. So all is well in the city of Cleveland, the same city that just 4 years ago had burned his jersey in effigy. And every time he went to Cleveland, he went in there, and everyone was just so upset and so mad that, hey, LeBron just said, you know what, I have to stick it to the Cleveland Cavaliers. Every time I go in there, I have to stick it to my hometown team. And he did that. He did that for 4 years. Now, I can understand that the city of Cleveland has had a long drought in between championships for the city. If you think about it, the last championship that Cleveland won that was of significance was the 1964 NFL title. That was before the Super Bowl. So the Cleveland Browns had never made the Super Bowl. Now, the Cleveland Indians have made a World Series twice since then. Of course, losing in 95 to the Braves, losing in 97 to the Florida Marlins. And the Cavaliers did make it to the finals back in 2007 when LeBron had this amazing run, this Allen Iverson 2001 type run to Cleveland. So now we fast forward to this year, and in my own mind, I was thinking, well, LeBron can't go back after this letter, after the way he was treated every time he'd go into Cleveland. So what would make LeBron come back to win a title in Cleveland? I mean, what does he owe the city of Cleveland? I mean, he really doesn't owe them anything, if you ask me. I mean, the way that they treated him leaving the first time, and maybe it was done in the wrong way. I don't like the way it was done, and I don't think anybody else liked the way it was done. But the point is, you still have to move on. You still have to deal with life, and you have to deal with the fact that your hometown hero is not there anymore. But the way that the city of Cleveland and the way that the owner completely trashed their quote-unquote native son was not the way that it should have went down. What do you think about this? 347-308-8219. This is an interesting series to me coming up because now you have the best player in the world, LeBron James, going up against perhaps the biggest rising star in the NBA in Steph Curry. And it's amazing to me that it seems like Steph Curry is the if you want to use professional wrestling terms, he's the baby face. He's the guy that people can cheer for because he has a very adorable daughter and is, you know, he's got his family there. And it's great to watch this guy shoot. He's probably the best shooter of all time. But then you got LeBron, who did go back to Cleveland. I mean, he's back in his hometown. But there's still people that don't like him because they think he's too arrogant or they think he doesn't appease a certain group of people that would like to see LeBron win a title, but there are other people that would not like to see him win. So it's a very interesting situation for Cleveland because when you bring LeBron back after 4 years of whatever you thought about him, now, you want him to win you a title because you haven't won one in 51 years. And now you have a legitimate opportunity to do that because LeBron is having this amazing run. But does LeBron owe the city of Cleveland anything? There are only two reasons why LeBron would go back to Cleveland. The first reason is after the Miami Heat lost to San Antonio last year, I guess the feeling was that his time in Miami had run its course. The second reason behind him wanting to go back to Cleveland is very simple. He wants to prove that he can win a title in Cleveland all by himself. See, a lot of people would say that even though LeBron was in Miami, it was still Dwayne Wade's team. Now, a lot of people would disagree with that and say that it was LeBron's team because LeBron, most of the time, had the ball in his hands. He was the one making the plays for the other two guys. But because Dwayne Wade has been in Miami for so long, people still feel that it's Dwayne Wade's team. But the question is, does LeBron owe the city of Cleveland anything? Join in the conversation, 347-308-8219. I have to say that if LeBron does win the championship, I think that this will be his best championship of all time. Because what he's done so far in these playoffs has just been absolutely unbelievable. Kyrie Irving hasn't been 100%. Kevin Love hadn't played at all. Matthew Dellavedova has become an overnight sensation, even though it's probably not for the best reason. I mean, you think about these guys. Tristan Thompson was going back to the 2011 draft. It's amazing that Tristan Thompson has become such a big part of this run that Cleveland has been on. You look at guys like Kyrie Irving who can kind of play a little bit because of the injuries. But you got J.R. Smith and Amon Shumpert, two guys that were completely forgotten after they were traded from New York. Timothy Mozgov has played extremely well. And then you have a rookie head coach in David Blatt who has never coached a game in the NBA. All of a sudden, he's four wins away from winning the NBA title. But let's go through some other cities that have had droughts of winning titles. obviously, we're not talking about world cities. We're talking about cities here in the U.S. simply because in North America you have the NHL. In Ottawa, Ontario, hadn't won a Stanley Cup in 86 years. We're just talking about U.S. cities. Now, the city with the longest drought between championships is San Diego. Now, San Diego has not had a team win a professional championship since 1963 when the San Diego Chargers won the AFL. So they haven't been to a Super Bowl. The Padres have been to the World Series. I think it was 84, they lost to the Detroit Tigers. And then in 1998, they lost to the Yankees, the first of three consecutive titles for the Yankees back then. And, of course, the Chargers haven't been to a Super Bowl. Then you got Cleveland, the 1964 NFL title, so that's been 51 years. Buffalo, it's been exactly 50 years since a team from Buffalo has won a title. Now, of course, you got the Sabres and the NHL. And you've got the Buffalo Bills, who haven't won a world title since the 1965 AFL championship. Now, of course, they went to the Super Bowl four consecutive years between the end of the 80s and the early 90s, but, of course, they lost all four of those. That's an unprecedented stat that has not happened before or since. Then you got Milwaukee. Now, the city of Milwaukee, they've been through it for 44 years, since the 1971 NBA title when Lou Alcindor, who is now Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, hit that big skyhook, was hitting skyhooks in Milwaukee. So it's been a long time for them. And, of course, you got the city of Portland, the 1977 NBA title with Bill Walton and John Lucas and those guys. They last won the NBA title 38 years ago in 1977. Certainly, these long droughts have led these cities to craving a title. And even in Cleveland, a city that is so adept to losing, when they got to the championship series in 2007, I think people really didn't think that Cleveland would have a chance against San Antonio. And, of course, San Antonio swept them. But let's talk about LeBron's legacy as we get closer to the end of this podcast. Once again, 347-308-8219. You can also go to my Twitter page at Kamari D. That's one of the links that you see right there on the episode page. Another one you see on the episode page is my Twitter feed at Kamari D. You can go ahead and tweet to me as well. We'll get you in on the conversation here about LeBron and his return to Cleveland, and what does he owe Cleveland? And here's the biggest question. We talk about legacies, and everyone kind of throws that thing around. But I think winning a title in Cleveland has always been on LeBron's agenda. LeBron has always wanted to win a title in Cleveland. So even though he went to Miami and won twice down there, it would not be as sweet for him as him going back to his hometown, going back to the place where he started, going back to where he met his woman, going back all the way to where he started his family in Cleveland. He wants to go there. He wants to win a title. But it's also a redemption story. As you remember, back in 2010, after back-to-back 60-win seasons, the Cavaliers, remember in 2009, they had lost to the Orlando Magic in the Eastern Conference Finals. You fast-forward to this year, to the next year in 2010, and LeBron kind of disappears. You know, it's tied at 2. Game 5 is in Cleveland. And what exacerbated, I think, what a lot of people feel about LeBron now is that he kind of shut down. Nobody knew what happened. Nobody knew why he would just completely fall out of off the track. And so then there were rumors that came out that, you know, he found out that his mother was sleeping with one of his teammates, and they still don't know if that's true or not. But they go up to Boston in Game 6, and then they get beat. So it also exacerbates the hatred, I think, that kind of came with the decision. Because everybody knew that LeBron was going to leave. Everybody had this feeling that LeBron was going to stay in Cleveland. You know, why would he leave? Why would he leave the place? Nobody really had an idea what was happening. So now we get to this point, and LeBron's legacy is on the line. What do you guys think winning a title will mean for LeBron's legacy? Will this add to it? Will this cement him in history? 347-308-8219. I think LeBron has to win this championship. Now, whether it's this year or the next year, because Cleveland's going to be around for the next couple of years, because I personally think that the Warriors are going to win this series. But over the next several years, LeBron is going to have to continue to get this team to the finals, but he's going to have to win. And forget about Michael Jordan and all the comparisons that they've had to Michael Jordan, because he's not going to be Michael Jordan. You know, nobody else is going to be Michael Jordan, who a lot of people think, and I believe, is the greatest player ever to play. So that's not going to happen. Here's the thing. LeBron winning in Cleveland is the single most important thing to him, which is why he returned. And he has some help. Kyrie Irving, Kevin Love. And they got the second seed. And they went through Chicago, and now that they went through Atlanta very quickly, they swept Atlanta. So now they're in the finals, and they're going up against Steph Curry. And again, Steph Curry is the guy that I think a lot of people want to see win. They don't want to see LeBron winning. Don't want LeBron to win. And I think that Steph Curry, for a little bit, was the villain a little bit in the Houston series, but now everyone is going to be going for him because they want to see more of little Riley Curry, his two-year-old daughter. They want to see him. They want to see Riley and her antics after a victory, after the Warriors win the championship, and they've got the Splash Brothers, and they've got a very, very young team. I mean, Harrison Barnes just turned 23, I think, yesterday. You know, Steph Curry is a superstar, but he's rising to being one of the best players in the league. Klay Thompson is one of the best shooters in the league, right behind his teammate. But LeBron has some good players, too. I mean, you look at Kyrie Irving, he's only 23, and his stock is just going to continue to rise. Also, Kevin Love is in the prime of his career, and LeBron is still in the prime of his career. So this could be a rivalry for the next several years. And LeBron, I think he understands that he's going to have to go through whoever comes out of the West over the next few years. And it could be this Golden State team. It could be Oklahoma City, whoever it could be. LeBron is going to have to deal with the fact of the pressure that he's going to be feeling winning in Cleveland. What do you guys think? 347-308-8219. You can also go to my Twitter page, at KamarAD. The link is right there on the episode page. You can also drop me a line on my Facebook page, KD Sports Arena. I'd really like to get you guys' opinion on what you guys think that winning a title in Cleveland would do for LeBron's legacy. And not only that, what will a title for LeBron do for the city of Cleveland? Because you got to remember, this is a strange situation. It hasn't happened often that a player leaves, goes to another team, wins titles, and then while he's still in the prime of his career, comes back to Cleveland and continues the onslaught in the NBA that he's on. And again, LeBron James, the whole thing with the decision. And it really, that was poorly done by everybody. It was poorly done by everybody. And it seems to me that I think LeBron has to win this series. If he doesn't win the title this year or next year, again, the thoughts of doubt are going to start to creep in. And LeBron understands that. And I think LeBron is going to try to do too much in this series. Like I said, I think Golden State is going to win it. But I think for Cleveland, for the city of Cleveland to really rebuild that bridge that was broken back in 2010, he is going to have to win this championship, whether it be now or whether it be later. Right now, though, Well, thank you guys for listening to the podcast. But right now, I've got a final take on Adrian Peterson. As we all know, Adrian Peterson was suspended by the NFL and was suspended by the league after domestic violence issues with his son, with child abuse after beating his son. And so now the question has come out whether or not Adrian Peterson should attend OTAs with the Minnesota Vikings, and he's not doing that. And, of course, the new head coach in Minnesota is Mike Zimmer. Excuse me, I think I got a cold developing here. But anyway, Mike Zimmer, the head coach out there, is saying, hey, you can either play with us or he's not going to play at all. And Adrian Peterson, you know, these are the type of stories that really interest me. Because it seems like there is a rising number of people getting in trouble for things that are happening inside the home. And I think a lot of the problem has to do with the fact that these players are so amped up throughout the course of the game. And they always have to be that way 24/7, that they don't know how to turn it off. And in Adrian Peterson's case, a lot of people have spanked their kids with belts and other objects, and they've left marks. Adrian Peterson being a public figure is different than that. So because the NFL is so, because everybody's so sensitive about this now because of what happened with Ray Rice, the NFL has to take a stand. They have to take a stand against this type of behavior. So Adrian Peterson was suspended by the league. But does he have an obligation to the Minnesota Vikings, a team that people think is rising in the NFC, a team that people believe has a quarterback that is about to take the next level with Teddy Bridgewater? He's sitting there. So why can't Adrian Peterson come? Why can't Adrian Peterson understand the fact that he needs to be there to help this young team out? I think Adrian Peterson has to go to OTAs are voluntary. But I think for Adrian Peterson to get back on the field is where he needs to be, whether that is in Minnesota. Because you got to think about this. A lot of times when you have these type of situations, no one's going to want to be on. No one's going to have to answer questions about what about Adrian Peterson and what happened to his son. Do you think that is going to affect his play this year? Nobody wants to hear that particular situation. And nobody wants to really be a part of that. So I think it's very important for Adrian Peterson to understand that he has a job to do in the NFL. And if he, and listen, he's older, so you may not want to deal with OTAs. But I think the most important thing for him to do right now is get on the field, get away from the cameras, get away from all of that, just get on the field and play football. And that's what I think Adrian Peterson ought to do. And the Minnesota Vikings and Mike Zimmer should pretty much keep his mouth shut if he wants his be on the field. Listen to my other episode on changes you'd like to see in sports on the podcast. Next week, I will be back again, and we're going to talk about cheaters in sports. We're going to talk about the Tom Brady's and the Ben Johnsons of the world and doping and things like that. So I think it's going to be a very interesting podcast. Hope you guys enjoyed this podcast. Continue to listen to it. Go to my Facebook, go to my Twitter page. I hope you enjoyed the episode this week. And again, we like to get your opinion every week. It's 347-308-8219. Thank you for listening to the podcast. We hope you enjoy it. And come on back next week. Right here, same time, same place, KD Sports Arena here on Blog Talk Radio.